This is Press Play on 89.9 KCRW. I'm Marisa Lagos, in for Madeline Brand.
I never really seriously took myself as an artist for many years. I mean, I didn't really want to say I was an artist, I think, until I was, you know, halfway through my career, in which I said, oh, I guess I am one, because I seem to be doing this over and over again.
Judy Baca may not have always seen herself as an artist, but her murals have decorated the buildings and walls of Los Angeles for decades. Most notably, the Great Wall of Los Angeles, a half-mile-long mural along a concrete flood control channel in North Hollywood that depicts California's history through the eyes of women and people of color. Judy Baca grew up in Watts, where attending art exhibits wasn't the norm, and her work depicts the life, struggle, and history of the Latino and Black families in her community, the same community that helped her paint that wall. Her life is the subject of a new LA Times short documentary called Baca, and Judy Baca joins me now. Hey, Judy.
Hello.
And one of the directors of the documentary is with us as well, Alejandra Vasquez. Welcome to Press Play, Alejandra.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I would love to start with Judy. You know, people who live in LA or have even just visited have likely seen your work, even if they don't know it. And I was hoping you might reflect a little bit on your approach. The art you make is very public, not just the final work, but the process itself. Can you talk about why collaboration is so important?
Well, I think part of my reasoning in this, the development of this methodology for producing a public artwork, is that it's a public voice. And it's profoundly different than, for example, painting on an easel painting, which is defined by a frame and a defined set of space. A public artwork, particularly the scale of murals that I've been working on, is seen in your peripheral vision. And you just see from one side of your eyes to the other, being able to take larger expanse. And it's also made in relatedness. It's made in relationship with the people for whom it's painted, for the people who actually participate in the making of it. Yeah. It's actually not something to be done as a solitary practice and work at a scale. You can't really paint a half a mile by yourself. It's important that you work with others. And then, of course, the question is, what others and who and why? And so my work has all developed looking at the place that I'm going to paint, looking at the people who surround that place and who are from that community, engaging them in that process so that the work does really become something that's related to them and is in a public process as well as creating a public image.
Right. And that's not, though, I think how a lot of artists work. I feel like you, your work, The Great Wall in particular, which is, you know, the subject of this documentary, you invited young people from troubled neighborhoods to help be part of it. That must pose a challenge, too, because you're bringing in a bunch of folks who are not necessarily artists or think of themselves as artists yet.
Well, in some cases, the people who are working with me are youth that or it would be considered at-risk youth. But actually, there's a correlation between the communities that are economically disadvantaged and the amount of arrests and the amount of difficulty with authority. And so they kind of are partners. Yeah. So if you find a group of poor kids, you might very well find them having a history of being incarcerated or arrested or having difficulty with authority. So it works out that way. And I was interested in actually looking at the people who were writing on the walls and engaging those who wrote on the walls to actually say something more articulate, to have a bigger statement, to move from just simply, you'll see, I am here. This is my name. I live in this neighborhood, but perhaps something that was more about their culture and about their experience and might give them a sense of larger pride, a pride in the and who they are and the history and heritage of the legacy of their families.
And the land and they're on in the city they live in, I imagine, because, yeah, they have agency in that. Alejandra, I want to ask you how you came to do this documentary. Did you have a relationship with Judy's work before shooting this project?
Well, I was familiar with Judy's work, of course, and I'm a Mexican-American filmmaker, and I followed the Mexican muralists and artists, and so I was familiar with Judy's work, but I was really excited to dig deeper on her work.
So, you know, Judy has 5 decades of murals, a lot of work that you could have focused on, but the Great Wall of Los Angeles is the focus of this documentary. It's certainly one of her biggest projects. Why did you choose that as the kind of centerpiece?
Judy, yeah, I mean, it's so impossible to distill someone's career into a 7-minute film, but we really tried, and that's why we decided to focus on the Great Wall because it's work that she's continuing today. It's one of her biggest pieces. It's here in Los Angeles, and when you see the wall, if people haven't had a chance to see it, it's really stunning, and you see a huge range of history, of culture, and there was just so much to dig into with just the wall alone.
Yeah, and there's so much amazing footage from the early days of Judy's career, of the painting of that mural. You really kind of get transported to the 70s. Talk about just finding that, sorting through the archives for that content.
Judy and her team did an excellent job at archiving everything. I mean, they gave us so much, way more than we could have ever used. And yeah, just seeing the footage from the 70s, it's so textural, it's so stunning, it's so colorful. And you really get a sense of Judy as an artist who is an activist, who's an educator, who cares about young people and is really bringing them into the process. And so that was the footage that we focused on.
Well, we mentioned, Judy, that the wall is about a half mile long, but there are plans to continue it. It's expected to expand to a full mile. Can you just talk a little bit about what your vision is, what you see as the future of the Great Wall of LA?
We've embarked on an 8-year-long project, which has been funded by the Mellon Foundation. It's stages, first stages. We got all the way from prehistoric times to the 1950s in the first half mile. And now we're coming back on the opposite side of the river. And we are starting with the 60s and bringing it up, we hope, to contemporary times. It's a massive undertaking, as you can imagine. We're having to do deep research. We're working with thought leaders. We're working with activists and historians and people who are advising us, community members, and drawing down information and creating a concept that is a narrative, more in intent on the metaphors and the experiences of people's lives, and
Yeah.
elevating stories that have been untold. And so our plan is to continue the narrative, to bring it back the second half of the site, and to paint it not in the river, because the last time we painted in the river, we had a major terrifying scare in which we had a flood,
Oh, wow.
and the kids went down trying to save our materials and equipment, and one of our people got washed down the channel 6.5 miles. She has lived to tell that story, and was an amazing rescue by helicopter on cables and
Oh my
about at
gosh.
Griffith Park. So she went 6.5 miles, and I said, "That's enough. I'm not going to risk anybody else again." But everybody said, "No, you have to keep going." And so I kept trying to think of a way we could do this work not in the river. It's horrible in the river. It's 118 degrees at some point. It's filled with what the kids call sewer. They call kids call it the sewer water.
There's a mural I know where the people all paint in the sewer. Pete, you now don't get us wrong. This is just a funny song about the sewer. Pete, you.
And we have to move the water away from the mural so we don't slip and slide, and it's a nasty place. So we are now painting at LACMA in the Resnick Gallery, and it's an amazing experience. We have light, we have toilets, we have water, we have sort of the amenities that are human amenities we rarely have when working in the river. And we are painting about 100 feet, where there's 60 feet nearly complete right now, on the 1960s. So the narrative will continue. We'll be ready for the Olympics, we hope. Of course, it's questionable as you keep working on these concepts, they get deeper and they have to be further researched. But the plan is that we'll bring this to completion, and we will have an interpretive green bridge over the top of the river so that people can view it on a 90-foot expanse of a bridge, a pedestrian bridge.
Wow. Well, Judy, I mean, we've been talking about LACMA. Other art institutions have really, I think, opened their doors to you in ways in recent years that were not available in the beginning of your career. But you've also had to fight to preserve your art outside of museums, right? We've seen public officials paint over graffiti and cover up work. The Great Wall of Los Angeles is difficult to view right now. Can you just talk a little bit about kind of what that's been like trying to be this advocate for your work when not everybody's always acknowledging it?
Well, I think there's a kind of bias, essentially. The historical bias is that for myself, I mean, as an art student graduating and getting my master's degree, I don't know how many art historical classes I had, how much art history I studied, none of which included the Mexican muralism, or for that matter, Canadian artists that, you know, we never looked north and we never looked south. So I actually came to understanding muralism after I had already been working at it. Somebody handed me a book on Los Tres Grandes, and I immediately understood that that was the tradition that in which I wanted to work, and put myself on a train to Mexico and began to study the work that was going on in the South. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, the bias has to do with it not being serious work. If it's collaborative, it isn't the individual heroic male that is producing that work. Women don't make monuments. That's not something that is readily accepted. So I actually, when I went to study in Mexico, I was the only woman in a workshop of 26 men. So the tradition is essentially thought to be a male tradition. And also the bias in the art world was that if it wasn't collaborative, it wasn't serious work. So I think actually there's a moment of change that we're looking at people beginning to think more seriously about this work and to be inclusive of the process, and understanding perhaps a little bit better the notion that collaboration, in fact, is a more difficult form than the work as an individual creator. How can you bring all of the hands together in the painting of the mural, for example, that we're doing at the Resnick Gallery at LACMA? How do those hands come into concert? How are we able to create a dance that we are, you know, in the same rhythm and in the same methodology, and are able to make a work that is one work, not a whole bunch of individual hands? I think one of the questions I get asked the most is, which part did you paint? And the answer, if you can tell, I failed, right? Literally, there should be no difference between my hand and the hands of my 20 assistants. And if I'm doing it right, we are dancing together in perfect harmony.
That is beautiful. Judy Baca is an artist and activist. Thanks so much for your time today, Judy.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And Alejandra Vasquez is co-director of the documentary Baca, which is currently streaming on the LA Times Short Docs page. Thank you as well.
Thank you.
Coming up, the backlash to Beyoncé's new country music project and the pioneering Black artist who laid the groundwork for Cowboy Carter, which drops Friday. Next on Press Play.